The Art of Discernment, Season 3, Episode 6, More Than Numbers, Biblical Church Growth.
Well, welcome back to another episode of The Art of Discernment. I'm Harry Walls, campus pastor and vice president of student life here at the Master's University, and this is Dr. Carl Hargrove, good friend, fellow elder at Grace Community Church with me, where he serves as a fellowship pastor, and he's also a faculty member, as I am, with the Master's Seminary. Sure. So we get to cross paths periodically, and some of the best paths we cross are golf cart paths.
Yes, that's right. When it's in, like, near the fairway.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. We cross them really freely either way, into the woods or into the greener grass. But Carl's the director of Grace Advance, which is a ministry of Grace Church. And today, Carl, you'll be talking about revitalization. Carl is a part of pastoral leadership for church planting, and I know you planted a church.
Sure.
But you've also been focused on church revitalization, and I think most people will be familiar with church planning, but maybe not revitalization. So, Carl, welcome.
Good.
Glad that you're here. Thanks for being a part of the Art of Discernment today. And maybe you could talk a little bit about church revitalization just really right up front. What does that really involve?
No, great. I'm glad to be here to talk with you a little bit and those that are listening. So important. You know, Grace Advance, a ministry of Grace Church, where we do help groups that may contact us or us looking into strategic areas where we can plant a church, that is, start a new work that's needed, because there is not a gospel witness that is consistent with biblical principles.
Okay.
There may be churches, but it's not biblically consistent. But there's also the aspect of revitalization, which we'll talk more about today. Revitalization is important because there are churches that maybe they have a long history, maybe it's a shorter history, but they're at that point, they need some resuscitation, if you will. And maybe they've done some of the right things, but at this stage in the life of that church, they need someone that can come in and help infuse a new direction, purpose, and drive, and maybe even return it to biblical principles because they've been lost, or return it to a sense of what is our purpose? Why are we here in this community? So revitalization is absolutely necessary. And also just counseling other churches that may call in. What do you think we should do? How do we get back to the glory days? And that's always an indicator.
Yeah.
What are the glory days? What do you mean by that? But we can help in many ways with the ministry of Grace Advance.
So the churches that might reach out to you, what are the typical kind of common denominators that cause them? What are the indicators that would suggest, hey, man, we need to get help?
Yeah, revitalize. So there's probably a set that you might look at for those that need, that want to plant a church, but that's different. Revitalization, there's a history, and something's lost. Several things that cause the need for revitalization, and I've seen it. Moral failure of a pastor, and so now people are disillusioned. They're wondering about the direction, and they scatter. It's like the shepherd has fallen, and the sheep scatter.
Okay.
So now there's a core group that's left, and they're saying, how do we put this back together again? The second reason there's a need for revitalization is I've seen someone has this grandiose vision of what they think that church should be and how they're going to reach the community, and they steer it in a direction that's not thoroughly biblical, and then it just doesn't work. It doesn't. And for them, what they do, and I've seen it unfortunately, I'll try it somewhere else. So now they leave behind this church that is, which direction do we take? Do we continue on this path that he set? Do we hit restart and start again? And so that's another reason that it occurs. Another reason it occurs, and I've seen this as well, they had the glory days of the church. The neighborhood changed. The environment, we sometimes don't want to hear that word, but that's a reality. What are the demographics around you? It's change. You're not reaching those people. You weren't forward thinking when it came to evangelism, of rearing future leaders in the church, and everything was just based in that present mode, and eventually those people get older.
Yeah.
They become older saints, and then they go on to their reward in heaven, and you're not thinking about the future of that church. So that's another reason that it occurs. And tied to that is they look around and they're doing everything the same way they've always done it. Now, there's certain things that shouldn't change. Say, for instance, let's take Grace Community Church as an example. John MacArthur, now 54 years.
Yeah.
54 years, let's just exposit the scripture. That's what he's done. Don't change that. But rest assured, there have been other things that have changed around that church. Approaches to evangelism, ministries that have developed. How do we develop our men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry? Those things have developed, and we've thought them through and taken mm-hmm. a step back. Even Shepherd's Conference, that's a great example. I remember being there in the years of Shepherd's Conference when I was doing my MDiv, and I remember the days when John MacArthur did every plenary session, and that was Shepherd's Conference. And we took a step back and thought, okay, how do we move forward with this ministry and recalibrated it to larger what you see today? So that sometimes what happens, no one wants to make any changes because they think if they make some changes, that means that they're giving into the culture somehow.
Yeah.
So we've always done it that way. It's that statement. And there's certain things, yes, do it that way until you reach heaven. Exposit the scripture, make it clear, speak with authority, be unbending. But yet look around you and ask, who are the people that we're reaching? How can we reach them more effectively?
Yeah.
So those are the reasons that there is a need for.
So churches will reach out
yeah.
to Grace Advance or Grace Church, rather,
sure.
and they say, listen, we're dwindling.
Sure.
You know, the population is dwindling. Maybe
sure.
the budget is dwindling.
Sure.
We're struggling to survive. Sure. What are some of the, before we talk about the principles, the biblical
sure.
principles that you promote or, and present to them?
Sure.
These are the things
sure.
that represent biblical ministry to be considered
sure.
that make a church healthy.
Right.
But what are some of the things that you kind of see that are normative that churches might try, or what kind of goes on in the culture of church that sometimes tempts church groups or pastors to go, man, this is the silver bullet right here. This one, you know.
Oh,
what,
sure.
What would—
Yeah, there are a couple of things that people think are the silver bullets. If we really get that dynamic, charismatic music director, worship leader, then we're going to turn this ship around. You may, and here's the reality, guess what? Sometimes you may bring other people in. But the question is, if you bring people in on simply that basis, I do say simply that basis, then now what you've done is essentially said, we have to always give you this. Because in one sense, you created a contract with them. You're saying, come for this reason, then that means you must continue to come for that reason. And if that changes, and if we push you a little bit more spiritually, if the preaching is a bit stronger, oh, friend, that's not why I came. And so you don't really have revitalization. You may have some numeric growth, but it's not revitalization. And so when people call us, I have to listen to, what are you really looking for? Is it simply numbers that you're looking for? Because there are some silver bullets out there, but it won't bring true biblical revitalization to that church.
Some churches I've heard, I mean, I travel like you do
sure.
and interact with churches and pastors and leadership teams.
Sure.
I've often heard, whether it's the worship side, like,
sure.
hey, that charismatic, more
sure.
contemporary
sure.
music thing is really important to attract people,
sure.
but also to that charismatic visionary leader.
Sure,
right?
The visionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we just have the visionary leader, he can move us forward. But let's pause for a second, because even in our, what Grace Advance does, just to let you know, we have an academy, 2-week academy intensive on revitalization and church planting.
Mm-hmm.
And we do talk about casting vision, because the word itself is used and—
Yeah, and misused too.
Misused, and it's one of those things, oh no, he said vision.
Yeah.
So we can avoid it. There are men that aren't very charismatic at all, But they have a sense of vision. This is where I believe we need to go, because they spent time with the Lord. They spent time here looking at these principles from God's word, and now they're going to give themselves to it. So here is our vision for the church, if you will, which is different from the guy that's, you know, he tosses and turns all night, and he comes up the next day, the Lord spoke to me,
right,
and here's this new vision for
heartfelt
fellowship church. You know, yeah. Now he knows it. This is it. I have it. Yeah. This is our future for the next 20 years. But there is a sense in which we teach guys, okay, what? How do you tell them the direction? So we say, well, here's some things. Ask, is that vision biblical? On what biblical principles is it settled on? You also ask, is it attainable? That is, can we really reach that? Is this what God is calling us to do? And I think we ask, is it excitable? That is, it's going to cause people, I want to participate in that. I see the sense that that's biblical, and I'm going to give my time and resources to it. So there's a sense, I'm excited about that. It's not wrong to be excited about ministry. I love what I do, and I know you love what you do. I'm excited to venture into new opportunities. Ministry for me personally that's open up in Africa, I'm excited about what we can do there. So it's nothing wrong with that. Then you also have to think, this vision, is it something that can be communicated? Because communication is the key to all of our relationships in one sense, that we communicate love for a person, we communicate our support for a person, and we have to be able to communicate. That's what we do even as ministers. It's largely we're communicating. We're in a podcast right now.
Yeah.
We're communicating a message to people right now. And sometimes people have some sense of where the church should go, but they haven't communicated it, and they don't do it well. Now, I've told students at times, you can go to a church and say, well, here is our direction. We're going to be biblical, and that's our future. What does that mean? You've not really told me anything. Because there are a number of places that if you look on their website, it has the language of being biblical, but how it's fleshed out, you know, it really isn't. So we have to be good communicators and a vision for people.
So biblical,
yeah.
Inspirational,
yeah.
And communicable.
Exactly.
Right? So that's the big idea on the vision.
Yeah, that's the big idea for
and
vision.
On the, and revitalization, basically, you would say it vital keyword. It's
sure.
Not healthy. We want it to be healthy again.
It to be healthy.
And defining health is more than volume of people.
Absolutely.
Or money in the offering plate.
Correct.
Right. Those are maybe indicators
it
of health,
be.
But not necessarily indicators
no,
of
not,
health. So
not
I want to circle back to the biblical kind of, and I get it. I think that most default positions are we're not growing. We're dying.
Sure.
You gave some of the rationale for that,
sure.
Why that can happen.
Sure.
We don't want to die.
Sure.
We're historical. We believe.
Sure.
We believe there should be a witness in
sure.
This community. And I'm reaching out to Grace Advance, Grace Church, and I'm saying, help us understand the foundation of what we should be focused on. So biblical priorities, all right, the biblical vision. I want to press into
sure.
That. So what is it that you highlight that you would say, listen, a biblical vision
sure.
Includes one,
includes
two—
Includes these things.
Yeah.
So we talk about, we have several sessions, and I do that portion. We talk about a philosophy of ministry. So what does that mean? We hear that together. Does that really gel together, philosophy of ministry? And what we're saying is we're taking our biblical theology, these biblical principles, and we're asking, what does this look like in everyday life in the church? We may say, well, I believe in worship. Okay, that's wonderful. But what is that going to look like in your church? What role does music play in the church itself? In a given service, in that 90 minutes that you take or that 120 minutes, where does it fit in? Are you going to be contemporary? Is it simply praises? Is it the old hymns only? Do you mix these two together? Do you have a bit of a different flavor in the morning and the evening? Some churches will go to the point where they will have a I don't know how popular it is now, probably not as much as it was 10 years ago or so. This makes sure we have a very distinct traditional service and a contemporary service. And I've even seen pastors, and I've been to some of these churches, and the first hour, it's traditional older hymns, and a certain group of the church comes to that service.
Sure.
And then the next service, he takes off his tie, he takes off his, you know, jacket, pulls out his shirt, and now it's a contemporary service that we have, and all the music changes.
And the worship band changes.
And the worship band changes. That's a part of your philosophy. How are you going to express worship? So we have to make sure that you understand that. So it's taking these theological convictions and principles and saying, what does it look like in everyday life? How do we take the approach to our children's ministry? How do we teach them?
I get it. So what are the, and what I'm hearing you say, there are core categories
sure.
that represent biblical priorities.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yes.
It's like the worship of God's people, the gathering of God's people yep. to sing songs, hymns, and
sure.
spiritual songs. It's a category. Preaching of God's word
sure.
is a category.
Category.
What are the categories?
And I would say within that, then, is also a high view of God.
Okay.
We teach that. That is so necessary. Do you have a correct view of God? And in teaching a category that's underneath that, if you will, a view of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture.
So a high view of Scripture, high view of God, authority and reliability.
And then it's also this. Then it's also shepherding.
Okay.
So important.
Yeah. It's not just a gathering on Sundays.
No. It's involvement in life.
Okay.
It's involvement in life. And some of these churches, they need revitalization because they are disassociated from one another apart from the 60 minutes or so or the 120 minutes or so that's on Sunday. What is your body life? That's so important. So you say revitalization, to revive.
Right.
How am I going to revive? I'm going to revive through life. And life on life with people. So there has to be a sense of shepherding that has to take place, the leaders to those people, and then the people to each other. So they're helping shepherd one another.
So the biblical priority of shepherding, the biblical
sure.
priority of community, if
sure.
you will, fellowship
right.
of God's people, biblical priority of worship, right?
Sure.
And I'm talking about
Absolutely.
In song.
Sure.
Biblical priority of preaching. The
sure.
word of God, biblical
yeah.
priority of how you view the Scripture,
that's right.
its authority and reliability. And then, is there more?
Is there?
Yeah. So, what are the others?
A church that says they want to revitalize, if they do not have or don't make it the highest priority to say that we're here for a purpose, what is that purpose? To reach the lost.
Okay.
Evangelism.
Good.
Because I've been to locations and I'll ask them, okay, what are you doing in evangelism? And they've misunderstood something about their approach to ministry. And over my experience over the years, they've even misunderstood some things that even have been said maybe at a shepherd's conference. And they think that what they can do, they can go to this church. They can put in the time they need to be a good expositor, which we absolutely agree with, but then they just think people are just going to show up. They'll just come. Yep.
Yep.
And then they aren't coming. And so we think about, no, you have to have a heart to go into the world. This has to be very much a part of your lifeblood. You want to be revived. You're going to be revived by being obedient to the Great Commission. You want the waters of baptism to be stirred, if you will.
Yeah.
New souls are coming to faith,
yeah.
not just the relocation of other saints that are maybe looking for a biblical church. And that will happen, and I've seen that happen. It helps this church.
Yeah.
These people say, I've been looking for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. And those people find and they tell others. That's good. But there has to be this sense we need to go into the world, go into this community, because what's happened— sometimes these churches, and when we talked about like a changing demographic, it's changed around them.
Now people are coming in.
They're just coming in.
And they're going
home. And they're going back out.
Yeah.
So no one's coming from that
community.
Other 15 miles
yeah.
away or that
yeah.
because they're not evangelizing yeah. people. So evangelism right here in your own Jerusalem, if you will, then when you go out to your Judea and some go out to their Samaria— and some even further out, that your mindset is, I want you to hear what I'm hearing in this church. And if a church is looking for the silver bullet, but they're unwilling to grasp evangelism, I'm not even sure that Grace Advance would work with them, because it's...
No, I think I hear and understand what you're saying, and I think for the benefit of the listener today, understanding what those core biblical categories are, that evangelism is one of them, I think would be... That would be really helpful to understand when somebody inquires about revitalization. I'm almost confident that they're thinking, man, we don't have enough people. The generation's dying off. But we can't pay the bills. We can't pay a full-time pastor. And we're threatened. And we don't want to lose the ministry opportunity that we once had. And we're trying to revitalize. We're trying to get healthy. So the biblical categories of the Word of God, the authority of Scripture, the importance of worship, the importance of evangelism, the importance of community, the one another's, like you have relational things. How about children? How about youth? Do you have one of those as a category, like a vision, a biblical vision for reaching?
I think we have to, because we have to think about the future. We have to make an investment, a concerted investment in young people in our churches. I'll give you an example. One of our Grace Advance churches, I was visiting, and I'll go around and see them, and how are you doing, and I'll kind of make an assessment of leadership and how they're interacting with one another. And I asked, I said, so what are you doing in the community? And they told me that they have these events that in the, it's a smaller community, almost like these parades, and they have expos. And I said, so where's your table there? And there was this silence. We don't have one there. Why wouldn't you? The whole community comes there. Why wouldn't you have
some
your sign, your table there? Why aren't you telling people that you exist? And I said, now, I also know this to be the case, because the city proper is too expensive. So younger people, where are they moving? Where are they living? Around you, because you're outside the city proper. So what do you? What effort do you have to reach these young people with these kids that will be a part of the future of your church? And what we did with that one church, we had a marriage seminar for them, free, come out. And we've done, and it was workshops on parenting, a mini conference for that. They could advertise it in the community, come out. Workshops on, you know, finances even. How do you make it in sort of this environment that we find ourselves? And then these young people came out, and some of them stayed. And then now that they're there, you build into their life, and they can say to someone else, I found a place that has community in it, and I'm hearing the Word of God. And maybe it's even unbelievers that are coming initially. But we don't cater to them, of course, but we love them as they're there. We allow them to see the love we have for one another, and that should be attractive. So we have to think through, we have to reach into the future, and what are we going to do for these young people? Which may also mean you have to think about your resources. The resources that you have, you're going to have to allocate some of it to someone, we pray, that has a sense of vision to reach these young people who are your future.
So when a church reaches out to Grace Church, Grace Advance, to you, and say, listen, we're concerned. Obviously, they've gotten to the place where there are enough evidence indicators to say we're vulnerable, we're declining, we're threatened. And do you go back to the – how do you kind of assess? Do you question over the phone? Let me ask you a few questions. Do you fly out? Do they fly in? How does the assessment process work, and what are you looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll start with what I'm looking for and then ways in which we can better discover it. What I'm looking for is teachability. That there's a sense of they're teachable in that moment. They aren't saying, okay, help us do the things we used to do. No, maybe some of the things you used to do need to be just discard it. Look around you and see the people that are in the community. Make an assessment of where you are. So we're looking for teachability. And there's a sense in which they aren't just trying to say, we want to re-up all of our old programs again. Who are you right now? What is the potential that you have right now? So I'm looking for that. And telephone call, often we've done a Zoom, just at least to see their faces and interact, how they may, the body language that may even come out when we say certain things. That's important for us. And then we may then make a visit, send someone to go to that site, look around the community. There have been places they've said, come help us. And it seems reasonable, but we have a saying, you know, with Grace Advances, so, you know, boots on the ground. We want someone to see and make an assessment and go around the community. What's happening in the community? And sometimes even, is it declining? 10 years from now, what will be in this community? And to, you know, to ask questions like that even at times.
Yeah, the trajectory, the trends.
Yeah, what's trending?
Community.
Like the one community I reference, it's all trending towards them because no one can afford to be in the city anymore. So they're in a great position. Then they need to be strategic in recognizing that and take advantage of it. Some, they're in that community where everyone's leaving. But does that mean you have no gospel witness? Now you're going to have to create maybe some new expectations of what this ministry can be. It may not be that place in the past that had 600 people. It's going to be that faithful church that faithfully has 100 or so people in there, and they're preaching the word of God.
So maybe from an objective standpoint, from a maturity, been there, done that standpoint, seen lots of churches, you know, talked to lots of leaders. I'm a leader myself. Your team or you will have an assessment, maybe a virtual Zoom call assessment, teachability, kind of assess what you can in that format. And let's suppose you get the sense that there's real potential here. I need to go see it, or somebody on the team needs to go see it. And so then it becomes a real heart-to-heart talk with leaders, heart-to-talk with the families that are motivated to reach out, and you survey the community. You also survey the church for the things that you talked about. What are you doing now? What are you prioritizing now? And I'm trying to think my way out loud with you. So there's an assessment of these are areas I think that you really are prioritizing properly. These are some areas you've maybe not emphasize that you should. And evangelism might be one, prayer ministry, because I know that's a priority for you. Teach that to the guys at the seminary, and churches are all about doing stuff, but not always praying to the God who actually does the stuff. So you would have a conversation with leaders, assess of teachability, the priorities. You would promote suggestions about biblical priorities, and then you would assess, does this group of people in this situation really have the potential for us to invest successfully with them, right? Because I'm assuming you say no to some people.
Yeah, you do.
Who do you say no to? The not teachable ones, for
sure. Yeah, the not teachable ones. Here's another group I say no to, those that want to replicate Grace Community Church. They just want everything to be the exact way that things are done in Grace Church. That's a, we're talking a half a century investment here. So I just say, friend, the expectations are not correct. So we can't meet that. We just may not be the ministry for you. This is a long, long investment that's been done here. Much soil has been turned over for it. The principles, take it and run with it. Absolutely. But there are people that just think they can just overnight Grace Church into their
ministry. Get us an expositor.
Get us an expositor, and it'll happen.
We can do what John MacArthur's done.
Exactly, and that's what some of those people will think. If we just start expositing, people just show up. Here's the other thing we have to think about in the revitalization. Now, if you want to come back to that other thought, I will, but I just thought about it. It's so important. Do people even know you exist? That is, do you have any presence? We do talk revitalization and in our academy about having a presence, even in social media. Don't have a website that is has, for the last 2 years, under construction pages on it. Boy, that's really building confidence. And, you know, I was talking with a student recently, said, friend, please change the fonts on that website. That's like, I don't think anyone uses Arial fonts anymore. That's you're going in ancient days here. Freshen it up a bit. Have the sense pictures of your people in life in your church. Present that to people. Let them know that you're there. There, even we teach students things that they are that are in our academy, things you can do with, you know, with Google, so that when people are searching, they can find you. When they type in Bible or expositor or sufficiency, you know, things like this, solas, that they will find you. Let them know that you're there. I mean, one of our churches, one of our flagship churches in the early years, clearly 40% of the people in that church found out through their website. Hmm. They had a presence. They were on Facebook. They were on Instagram. They were letting people know that we exist. When they had an event, they would post it. They would talk about it. And people found out in word of mouth, and the gospel was being preached, and people were being saved, and others were telling their friends about it. And that's a church that literally was 2 weeks away from closing its doors. And just this past, was it a year and a half ago, purchased a building that I think it seats about 700 people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that would be a success story of revitalization.
Yeah. The need was there. They taught these principles. And here's the other thing. You also have to realize revitalization, there is a key element, a sovereign God who does these things.
Yeah.
We fall on our knees and we pray, and that's so important. I remember in the words of Lloyd Jones, as he was addressing some of the issues of the church at his time, and he says, you know, we are fools, he says, indeed, because he says, we have forgotten the prayer meeting. We don't fall on our knees the way that we used to, and ask for the Lord to intervene. So if you can, if you will, take these elements, and it's joined to prayer, then revitalization, I don't think, would truly take place.
It's futile.
Yeah, it is.
Unless it's man-made and therefore
temporary.
And you
can manufacture.
Yeah. We do the
thing.
I mean, we can do the big band
churches
thing.
All around.
We can do the fix-it sermon. We can do the 20-minute deal.
It can be
because we scratch people where they itch.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, so what church revitalization involves is engaging a church that recognizes a need. You're looking to assess, number one, their interest in applying biblical priorities and the teachability that would be connected to that, and not the presumption that Grace Church is the model to be replicated.
Sure.
So you would assess that. You would assess the church. You would assess the community. And I think, and I don't want this to be unclear.
Sure.
There would be an interaction with Grace Advance to talk about the categories. I'm calling them biblical categories.
Sure.
And then conversation about the application of those biblical categories. Because obviously there's variety, right?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
This community, how we reach out, what our presence is, how we promote that presence.
Sure.
And then we would talk about maybe a strategy, a tactical, you know, I don't mean that in a human sense, but a game plan with that group of people, and that there would be ongoing coaching. Is that how it would work?
That's a part of Grace Advance.
Okay, so there's training the academy.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the ongoing support coaching.
And a part of it in that assessment as well, because we're saying, okay, we'll send you a man. We also have to make an assessment of which man. Because you might say, well, they're a graduate of the Master's Seminary. That's obvious. We have a couple men that are from the Expositor Seminary. So, sure, they're a graduate. Send them. No, not necessarily. Because in that community, say, for instance, and it's happened before, urban community. And I don't know, there are five people I can think of right now. I would never send them to that environment.
Yeah, it's not their
wheelhouse. It's just not them.
Yeah.
And they're guys that, you know, it's on the outskirts. They're somewhere in Colorado. They're, you know, looking at the Rockies all the time. And they're guys I would not send to Colorado. But the other guys, it just the vibe, it's them. They're going to automatically identify with the people that they're reaching. They know how to speak their language. It's sort of like they know how to be a Jew to the Jew and a Gentile to the Gentile. Right. They know how to speak to the Greek and to the Roman. And we have to make that assessment as well. Who's the best guy to send there to help revitalize? So we can avoid this longer learning curve, you know, with them. So that's what we do as well.
Where they are, yeah. We're needy, weak, sure. And we'd like to get strengthened.
I'll back up just for a second with that coaching. We have a relationship with these churches.
Okay.
So myself, I know all of them that are there, but we have other men that are on our council for Grace Advance that will say, that's my church. I'm going to be in contact
point
with them
on a regular
basis. I may go visit them. We talk right now. There's one church that I'm involved in more intimately because he's a younger guy that went there, but he was still the right guy. So every 3 weeks, I'm on a Zoom call with his leaders along with another elder. Hmm. How long will we do that? We're not sure.
Right.
It could be another year. It could be another 2 years. As long as it's needed.
Yeah.
And then then they wean off of it. They have their own elder board. It grows. It matures. But even those with their full elder board, based on the circumstances, they may call us and say, hey, we've never seen this before. What do you think we should do? Hmm. Then we can talk it through. So it's an ongoing relationship as much as they want it and there's a need for it. Financial support, I wish we had an account, I really do, that we could say we can supplement you for a period of time. The only account that we have is when we do church plant. Some money set aside on special occasions where if a church can't really meet the needs of that pastor, we can help for like an 18-month, 24-month
to get them established.
To get them established, yeah. But not 100%.
That's church planting, not church revitalization.
But we would take that into account as well for revitalization.
Right. Okay.
Because we say, in one sense, that revitalization in most cases can be just like a church plant.
Yeah, I would think so. They have a building, but they
you
don't
have a building. Yeah. You've been around for 50 years,
yeah.
But we're starting fresh
yeah.
is what we're doing. So let's treat it like a church plant. Almost in one sense, what you're saying, we're starting with 40 in our church plant, although you're already members, and the Lord blessed us with a building in our church plant. That's the way you have to approach it.
Okay. So when you have a church with history—
Yeah.
You know, they have a heritage.
Yes.
They do have a way of doing things.
Sure.
And the 40 they have, that matters to them.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you balance the history of the church, the heritage of the church, with the adjustments and changes that are necessary for that church?
Sure. I think that's something we tell all of our students, even at the Master Seminary on the area. And I know you emphasize it in even what you teach the guys in the pastoral ministries. Move slowly, but not in a way that's not effective and people don't know where you're going. But don't totally disregard someone's heritage. Learn from it. There may be lessons that you can learn. That was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hold on to that and let's revitalize that aspect of it. But there may be other elements where you just say we have to discard it. Here's the important thing. If you're building relationships with people, you can discard certain things because they know that you care about them.
Mm.
And when you have that conversation, because it's something that maybe they created or they've been doing it for the last 10 years or 15 years, but if you have the relationship, you can go to them and have that conversation and say, it's time to move on to something else. Maybe you can be used in this area. I had to do that myself in my, you know, ministry, because I planted a church. I was there for 13 years, and then I revitalized the church. And that revitalization, that church had an 80-year history. Hmm. Beautiful building, facilities, everything's paid off. No real financial issues, but it was going in the wrong direction. And for a couple reasons. They weren't reaching out. The long-standing pastor had retired. They had a long search for a pastor. Then the one that came should have not been the pastor, so that the ending was a bit sour there. And then I came. So it was a matter of, how do I gingerly work through this while still giving direction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you help churches kind of walk their way through kind of with the counsel of experience and I would call biblical maturity?
Sure.
To help strengthen certain convictions and also challenge certain assumptions, like, hey, listen, and maybe even help them find the right guy if they haven't had the right guy.
Sure.
Or the support leadership that they need. Would that be part of that kind of journey you would take with them?
Oh, absolutely. And okay. The right guy is so important.
Right.
And we're saying we have men for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not, like if they say, we have a guy, can you work with him? We wouldn't.
I see.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it. It, okay. It'd have to be someone that we know. And we may say, here are some principles. Take them and implement them.
Do the best you can.
Do the best you can. But if we don't know the guy,
yeah.
We're saying, no, we just don't do that with Grace Advance. So we know the guy. We can recommend him. We've assessed it. And we'll walk through them, you know, in that journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a church in need, a church that feels like we're not healthy.
Sure.
Before I ask the rest of that question,
yeah.
Do most churches know when they're not healthy?
Yeah, that's a great question. That really, some don't. It's like, you know, that person that you talk to, brother, you've been sneezing the whole time we've been here. Oh, I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me. No, you probably should not be here right now.
Yeah.
And the churches like that, they're sneezing. And they're like, no, everything's fine. Look at it. The building's paid. We,
yeah.
You know, look at our marquee. Isn't it beautiful? We do have people that are still in the pews, and they don't know that they have a cold.
Mm.
And so, and that's a part of that teachability.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they think, oh, if we just change this, won't that? No, that really won't help it.
So the church that has come to know that
yeah.
they are sneezing
yeah.
or dying, right? They've got—
Friend, put your house in order, right?
Yeah. They're reaching out to Grace Advance,
yeah.
Grace Church, and this process of assessment happens.
Yeah.
Then a journey is taken. If there's teachability and the assessment is such, we can, at least preliminarily, we can work with you.
Sure.
The academy, here are the principles, here are the categories, coaching, here's how they might be applied, a visit perhaps. Is there a timeline? Like, you know, we're in a microwave. You know what? I want my church to be, like, better next year. Is there thoughts you have about how long will this take? And I know that's nuanced, the circumstances.
Yeah, it sure is.
But is there general terms about what it would typically take if a church leadership team really bought in by faith, with prayer, aligned themselves, got their guy who's going to teach the Bible and have a biblical vision to lead them? How long might it take typically?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, honestly, if I look at my own experience and kind of redirecting a church, the churches that I'm aware of now, I get calls back. You're talking about a 3 to 5 year experience
okay.
before you really see, oh, we're turning in the right direction now.
Okay.
Because I need to know the people who are there. Who are they? Who is this community?
Yeah.
Because they're not a project. It's a relationship that you're building.
I see.
And I want to care about you. And I'm not here to just say, okay, I'm just directing the troops. You're member number 75752.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. You have to build relationships.
Okay.
And that's important because you have to communicate to that group. And that's a part of the teachability. Friend, you have to build community amongst yourselves so that you can be healthier to reach other people. And that may take a while based on the hurt.
Okay.
Based on the damage that was done before.
That may have precipitated the
Exactly. decline. You know, one of our works, the pastor had this supervision, then when it didn't work, he left and left a bunch of debt and had not really trained people properly. We charged that man who's there now, go teach love. And you may have to sell some of the property. The Lord blessed that work. They built into the lives of people. They're able to keep the property and now build on what they had before. Hmm. But they started with that sense, let me teach, let me love.
I see.
Let me reach, put forth, we need to reach this community. That's our purpose here.
Has anything, Carl, changed post-COVID? You know, I'm thinking that COVID certainly changed
Sure.
a lot of the church life, both its approach, especially for what I would call Bible-based churches. Mm-hmm. They seem to have improved and strengthened. How about church revitalization? Has that been an area that has been impacted by COVID?
That's interesting. I don't know that church revitalization has, but I would say church planting. Because now there's a sense of a lot of these churches have grown, and now they're thinking, what do we do?
Yeah.
Because these people that used to come from out in Samaria, now they're coming in here, and maybe we need to think about planting a church out there.
Out there, more accessible.
More accessible to
those
people.
To them and the
people.
Community.
That's yeah. right. Because yeah. if we talk evangelism, yes, you're here, you yeah. believe it, but when you tell your unbelieving neighbor, well, drive with me 45 minutes, they're boy, I'm not sure about that.
Well, Carl, this is such a yeah. critical category.
Sure.
Is there anything else that you would say, art of discernment, priority to pursue? I play or I engage in ministry to churches that are needing to be healthy, or maybe even geographical regions where churches need to be planted. What would you say as an encouragement? Or something you would say, man, I want to make sure that our audience has an opportunity to think about this or prioritize this as they think about the health of their own church. What would you want to kind of wrap up with our audience
yeah.
today?
There's, I think, a unique opportunity, you know, in our culture. You say, how so? Because we see it declining.
Church in general, or the culture in general.
The culture is declining itself. We see it around us. And I would say the church is declining. We are becoming, the people with voices like ours are becoming more and more a minority. Now, granted, as I said earlier, I've seen some of our Bible churches grow.
Sure.
As a result.
As ours has.
Yeah, absolutely. As a result of COVID, people realize this is false. All of a sudden, my pastor— one moment he's preaching the word of God, the next moment it's all social justice conversation
yeah.
that he's having. So that's been good, but we still remain a minority.
Yeah.
And we will continue to be that. Maybe we're a bit healthier minority, perhaps, but the culture is declining. So now that's opportunity for us. So since the culture is declining, Christ made it clear you're supposed to be lights.
Yeah.
And even in this room, you have the lighting for a reason. With the dark paneling around, it's to capture it a certain way. And that light is more pregnant, if you will, in the darkness. And we need churches to be planted. And we need people who can say, you know what, I'm in this healthy church right now, and there are a lot of great programs that are there right now for my family. But maybe if my pastor were to say, I need 30 of you to go in this direction, to be willing to do that.
To do that, yeah.
Be willing to do it, yeah.
And I think I would say in closing too, you know, Grace Community Church enjoys a kind of health and life and undeniable influence.
Sure.
I think it's important to recognize that replicating that is not the goal.
No.
Replicating biblical churches is the goal.
Yeah.
To allow a church to experience the life of God because they apply the principles revealed in the Word of God.
Sure.
And what we are, what you
sure.
are especially in your team,
sure.
is a team of people that potentially could be allies to that end. So wherever this group of people may be,
sure.
whatever church may need to be revitalized or planted, There's ministry, a heart for ministry from Grace Advance and Grace Church to help support the work of God in that place. And that's what beats in your heart, I know.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's the joy of the ministry that I watch you do. And I want to thank you for being here with us today on The Art of Discernment. And hopefully we can keep it between the cart path and the out-of-bounds line. And
we the can next do, time we get out there.
Yeah, so that our fellowship will continue. But thank you for being with us today.
Oh, sure. That was a privilege. Thank you for the invitation.
I think there are groups of people out there that hopefully will find benefit from hearing some of the principles that you've spoken about, as well as maybe be prompted to reach out and say, maybe we could be benefited, because that would be your heart, I know.
Amen.
Well, God bless you, Carl.
Okay.
Thank you for being a part today.
Wonderful.
Thanks for joining us for The Art of Discernment, a podcast of the Masters University. You can learn more about the university at masters.edu. Be sure to subscribe to The Art of Discernment wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to our channel. If you know someone who would benefit from today's show, we encourage you to share it with them. We'll see you next time.